L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line, our third and final hour all across the Sports Grid Network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Just two more days remain in the month of February, which means so many things. Basketball in the NBA ratchets up in intensity as everybody looks to make that playoff push here down the home stretch. It also means the madness intensifies in college basketball in the month of March. Just two more nights in February before Friday, that calendar turns to March. It also means, with spring training now fully underway around MLB, we continue our previews of the 2024 Major League Baseball season with our MLB insider, Craig Mish. All of that and a little bit more here in this third and final hour.
Yeah, we're coming up under like 3 weeks until the Major League Baseball season starts. Typically, it starts right around April, but we have that overseas, you know, opening series, which is kind of unique now to Major League Baseball. They try to throw that in. So we are getting really close. And also, just to the month of March, yes, tomorrow is a leap year. Friday, we kick it off, and it feels like we're not going to look back, because if you guys don't know just yet, some of these mid-majors will be beginning their conference tournaments next week already, and away we go into Selection Sunday. Great programming here on the Sports Grid Network. It's a great time. And also, let me update you on this. Do you remember that app Ben was telling you about? This month is exactly the time that you need to get this app, because why? You only need to follow me. Don't follow anybody else on that network. You want my highlights, you get them right there on that app, and that's all you need, people. And Ben clapping because he agrees with that team.
Completely agree. A random time plug for the Spiz Grizz app. Donnie Wrightside, a company man. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience here. Hour number three, our third and final, Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. That's company man DRS. I am Ben Stevens, B-double-S, if you will. Jason Tatum has been in NBA conversations throughout All-Star break and All-Star weekend because he was asked in Indianapolis if he sees himself as a potential replacement when LeBron James calls it a career to be the new face of the NBA. He said yes. We asked the public last week. They said absolutely not. We asked the public again this week if Jason Tatum would ever win an NBA MVP award in his NBA career, and they said hard pass once again. Nearly 67% of the public said Jason Tatum, not this year, but never in his NBA career. He's only played in seven NBA seasons. His seventh year is this year. He only played at Duke for 1 year. He's in his mid-20s. The public said, Donnie, Jason Tatum would never win an NBA MVP award. We both voted yes, he would.
Yeah, but I love the hate. Like, I might be able to switch my vote right now because I just want to pile on and start hating on the Celtics, but I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be fair with the people out here. You got to take your fandom, which I am a Sixers fan, I don't like the Celtics, and say, why are we voting no? Because quite frankly, if it was 50-50 or even less, it's okay. It makes some sense. Or yes, he has 10 more years to play in his prime. He's probably going to win one. So let's just say 65% of the vote said yes. I don't know why we're so disparaging the guy, because as you see there, five-time All-Star already, two times NBA All-First Team here, which means you're one of the top five, six players already in the league here on a good organization with the team that makes deep runs in the playoffs continuously. Sooner or later, you're probably going to break through. And I'm like, what's the argument against him? Well, Luka just turned 25. He's going to win a couple. Wembanyama just came through. He's going to win a couple. So they'll just wait out, basically, Jason Tatum, where he can't win the award.
Yeah.
To say he never can win one, and that decisive as a thought process, I can't buy into that. I can't.
Me as well, right? I don't love the Boston Celtics either. Yeah. I would like to maybe fade Jason Tatum. I got nothing against the guy. But the fact that he would never win an NBA MVP award is kind of a crazy thing to say. Again, this is year number seven for Tatum in the NBA. He has played since 2017-18. He was the third overall pick in the 2017 NBA draft. He is 25 years old at the moment. He turns 26 on Sunday, March 3rd. He will be 26 years old. Let's say good health. Everything stays with Tatum. And by the way, he has been very available throughout his NBA career. He has played at least 64 games in every NBA season, and that includes the COVID-shortened season of 2019-2020 and the next weird year of 2020 and 2021. He hasn't really dealt with injuries. He doesn't have an injury history. So all of that to say, let's say he is at the peak of his game for the next 7 to 8 years in the NBA. He's not going to be in consideration for an MVP award. Let's pull up his stats just so we get this idea on where Jason Tatum has been in the pantheon. He's a top 10 player in this sport. You could argue probably which way does he lean, closer to 10, maybe 15. He's top 10 in the NBA, in my estimation. He's a five-time All-Star in his seven NBA seasons. He won the All-Star Game MVP a year ago. He has been a two-time All-NBA first team. That means he's one of the five best players in the league on a year. That's not all that far from being the best player and winning the MVP award. And one of the things that is not so tied to an MVP award in basketball, like it might be in football to the quarterback position, team success. But the Boston Celtics have been to four Eastern Conference Finals in the 6 years Jason Tatum has played in the NBA so far. It is probably going to be five here in the seven. It's just crazy, Donnie, that Boston has the best record in the NBA by a good margin, 46-12. They've won nine straight games. The Celtics are the hottest team in the NBA, and Jason Tatum has a 40-1 price to win the NBA MVP award. Yes, it is fifth best, but it is so far back from the rest of the field. It's kind of crazy he's not getting any consideration this season.
Yeah, no, it really is. And also, like, we can always have arguments on who can win something because, quite frankly, it's very hard to win an MVP. There are a lot of talented players that are up for that every single year, and you have to put up crazy statistics. And maybe Jason Tatum would have been better off playing for the Orlando Magic and just dropping 45 a night because nobody else is around him and his only goal is to score and the team isn't going anywhere. You're playing with other superstars, so we tend to downgrade you in the moment. Oh, is he an MVP? Well, he's got other good players to play around him, which isn't a very fair argument at all. Michael Jordan won multiple, LeBron James. They both had some help along the way. But quite frankly, when you're looking at this, it's close to 70% that said no. Like, let's just say if it was 55% yes, 55% no. He's like, okay, you know, it's a little bit even. But it seems 110. Like it's overwhelming the fact that people are just saying he can't win an MVP. There's no way. Yeah. When, quite frankly, the Celtics throughout his career, he's probably going to be an NBA champion. He's probably going to be a 10-time All-Star. That sounds to me like you're going to be in it every single year in the MVP race. And we know how voters like to do it now, right? Oh, he hasn't won one. This is going to be his year. Let's make it happen. Let's see if it takes place now.
A career best 30 points per game last year. This year, a little bit under that, but still 27 points per game, 8.5 boards, nearly 5 dimes. He's getting it done everywhere. He has averaged at least 8 rebounds each of the past 3 years as well. It's not the triple-double historic numbers of a Nikola Jokic or a Joel Embiid, but he'll be there in the running. More MLB divisional previews next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're only about 3 weeks away from the start of the Major League Baseball season in 2024. We have talked about the calendar a ton on this Wednesday, February 28th, live right here on the Early Line. But March also means the beginnings of Major League Baseball. Craig Mish joins us here on this Wednesday on the Early Line, the host of Newswire, our MLB insider all across the Sports Grid Network. Craig, thank you for taking the time to be with us here once again on this Wednesday. Some more divisional previews around MLB for the 2024 campaign.
Yeah, and I would say the preview today, maybe not the sexiest on the board, let's be honest, the American League Central, but I would say that it could be a more competitive division than what we've seen in the past. Mm.
That is certainly the case. The odds do not stack up like that, but we'll dive in to see where the value truly is. We're working east to west across the American League. We'll do the same with the NL in the coming days and weeks as well. Yesterday, the American League East, maybe one of the best divisions in Major League Baseball. The American League Central does not have that pedigree behind it. And Craig, right now with the odds, the Minnesota Twins, last year's divisional champions, an odds-on favorite at minus 140. The odds would say it's a one-team race or really heavily skewed to at least one club. Do you agree with the odds makers on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Yeah, you know, Ben, I do think the Twins are the favorite. I do think that they had a chance to be a much bigger favorite, but sort of chose to stand pat a little bit in the offseason, which, you know, to me is a little bit of a surprise. Maybe some of the TV deal money and things like that have factored into some of their decision making. But from a talent perspective and a pitching perspective, they are better than the rest of the division. I thought, Ben, that they had a chance really this offseason to kind of drop the hammer on the rest of the division by adding a player or two. Yeah. But what they basically have decided is, you know, we have players that we think are going to even take a bigger step. And so, yes, I do agree with the sentiment that they should be the favorite. But I can, you know, Twins fans, Ben, are a little disappointed that they didn't do more. And I think that that's probably fair.
Took a look at those AL Central odds here. And yes, the AL Central, unassuming, not really sexy, really similar to the Big Ten as a whole here, which I think that's a perfect correlation. If we take a look at the Chicago White Sox at a 38-1 price, the reason I bring them up here, Craig, is not to analyze them for this season, but this was a team like two short years ago, looked like it was probably going to take a stranglehold on this division from power pitching prospects and young guys to batters here. What happened to the Chicago White Sox, who now sit way back almost with zero chance, it looks like, to win this division here?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, Donnie, you get a core of players who don't take that next step. And I felt like you could probably look at Baltimore and look at them and think, you know, why didn't it go as well as it did for the Orioles? And it could be player development. It could be management. You know, Kenny Williams, who was there a long time, was let go. Rick Hahn was let go. And, you know, clearly that's what tells the story, Donnie, is that they felt that the organization need to go in a different direction. But, you know, you look at Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez, you know, Yoán Moncada, like, you know, players they got back in the Chris Sale deal. Not all of them worked out. And I think when push comes to shove in the end, that's sort of how you have to judge it. Michael Kopech was another player involved, and, you know, he hasn't lived up quite to his potential as well. So, yeah, I think we all thought they would be there. They tried to make that big managerial splash with Tony La Russa, if you remember that, a couple of years ago. And, you know, they thought that was really the deal. And you know, in the end, I mean, Tony La Russa's season was better than the one they had last year. As bad as they thought La Russa was, I mean, he really did a better job. But anyway, yeah, the White Sox are now in full rebuild, although they did, you know, duct tape the team a little bit with some one-year deals. Those players will be traded in July.
You see that win total of 63.5. Chicago has the third shortest or best, regardless of how you want to categorize it, a 5-1 number to have the worst record in Major League Baseball this season. Donnie, right side trying to go in reverse order. Now we go back to the top with those Minnesota Twins at 87.5. Their win total heavily favored to win the division, minus 140, heavily favored to make the postseason, minus 184. Craig, what about Minnesota makes them the clear front runner to win the Central for a second consecutive year?
Yeah, well, look, they have the best pitcher in the division, I think, in Pablo Lopez. Some people would say Dylan Cease. I think Pablo Lopez is the best pitcher in the division. You can make the argument that they have one of, if not the best position players in the division in Carlos Correa. So you start there. You have a core of three or four potential all-stars every single year, an up-and-coming player who last year was one of the best players in baseball per his at-bats, played appearances in Royce Lewis. And you're thinking that this is a team that could even take a bigger step. But again, there are teams behind them that are tired of losing. And for the first time in a while, you have Detroit trying a little bit. You have Kansas City trying a little bit. And so I got to tell you, I don't love that number of 87.5 with the Twins. I'm very happy that they won their first playoff game last year and they made the playoffs. I still think they could get in again, but I'm not positive that they fly over that number of 87.5. That feels like on the higher side for that team, to be honest.
Let's take a look at the Tigers here. Well, I quite frankly like this year here. Parker Meadows, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, some young guys to start that lineup, mixed in with some veterans here like Mark Canha and certainly Javi Baez. They did retool their pitching staff here, which you like. Tarik Skubal looking to take that next step as well. Jack Flaherty comes over as well as Kenta Maeda. I think times are looking up. If there's a team for me that could overtake the Minnesota Twins, it's probably going to be the Tigers for me, Craig.
Yeah, and they set their total, I think, appropriately. Again, I don't love it here because you could easily see this slightly going under if things don't go well. Maybe they move some parts. Donnie, there's a lot of people in the industry who think that Skubal's a great buy-low Cy Young Award candidate in the American League this year. So, I mean, that could be a possibility as well for Detroit. The Baez deal doesn't look like it's going to work out, but some of the other deals did. Remember, it was Manning and Skubal and Mize that was going to carry them, and that sort of fell apart a little bit. So they add Maeda and Flaherty, as you mentioned. Again, those are players that you're going to kind of have to see how the season goes with Detroit. My fear would be is what if it doesn't quite live up to it? Would they dismantle again and try again for the following year? I know Tigers fans don't want to hear that, but let's remember with the Miguel Cabrera contract now off the books, it does open up some finances for the Tigers. So, Donnie, like you, I certainly think that there is a chance. You know, I got to tell you, we'll get to Kansas City. I think that is another team as well that we should be keeping our eye on this year.
Optimism in the Motor City might be a little bit fickle, but there should be hope for the Tigers this season. Before we get to KC, we go to the Cleveland Guardians. 78.5 the win total for Cleveland. It was 79.5 for Detroit. Craig, how do you evaluate the Guardians entering this 2024 MLB season?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of pitching development, they're in an elite class in baseball, maybe top two or top three. They just continue to grind out their roster. They trade pitchers. They call pitchers up. They end up being good. Again, their payroll is so low, Ben. They didn't do anything again this offseason or barely anything, so to speak. And so, unfortunately, it's a really hard team to root for. You know, it's like they're not really doing anything. They're just sort of in this, you know, mid-level here of teams. They have nice young offensive pieces. Jose Ramirez is probably the best player. Yeah, I said Correa is probably the best player in the division. If it's not him, it's got to be Jose Ramirez, and maybe it is Jose Ramirez in the end. But just not a lot to love with the team. A lot of low-scoring games probably this year, 4-2, 3-2, always on the strength of their bullpen. But this is a total that I saw there on your graphic that I think is very fair. It seems like they're right around a 500 team. This is not the Guardians of 3 years ago where their total was 82 and they get to 87. This is pretty much who they're going to be, about a 500 team this year. I don't think they'll make the postseason.
All right, Craig, less than 40 seconds left under the wire here. As we look at the Kansas City Royals, you mentioned the promise in KC, a young core to build around. What should 2024 look like for the Royals?
Yeah, a great shot, I think, to go over this total of 73.5. Ben, when you want a new stadium built and you want a vote in the next 6 months, you don't lose 100 games. They tried in the offseason. I don't know if it'll work. They signed Seth Lugo. They signed some other starting pitchers. They extended Bobby Witt Jr. I think Kansas City's going to try and fight to be 500 this year to take that next step and then try and make the postseason the following year. So this is actually one of the teams that I do like, also not a formidable division. I think the Royals make a bigger push this year. Not going to win 90 games, but 80, I think, is in range.
Craig Mish, I'm joining you on the over. We're back to the association.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go around the association on this Wednesday. the Hardwood Handicaps with the two premier NBA handicappers on this network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. 11 games on a Tuesday night around the association. As I do the quick math here, only six on this Wednesday. But a marquee matchup out in Los Angeles between the two LA teams. The Clippers are soon moving stadiums. Not quite yet. Not moving the arenas from crypto at this moment. It is the battle for Los Angeles. The Clippers, a 3.5-point home favorite against the Lakers. The over-under, 235. The Lakers need to start winning games. The Clippers have dropped 2 of 3 since the All-Star break. What happens in the Battle of LA on this Wednesday?
If we're taking a look at the Lakers as an underdog here, we're looking to be full go. It's Russell, it's Reeves, Hachimura, James, and Davis. But if we flip it over to the anticipated lineup tonight for those Clippers, James Harden, Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, Kawhi Leonard, and Ivica Zubac. Who's missing in that? Paul George. So if we're going to be down a man here, I'm going to look forward to the Los Angeles Lakers as a slight dog technically on their home court, because even though it does say Clippers on the court, there will be more fans in Crypto.com Arena cheering for the Los Angeles Lakers. If Paul George does not show up to the game tonight, I'm going to ride with the Lakers tonight as a slight dog at Crypto.com Arena here in LA.
The Clips have not looked great since the All-Star break. Three games, again, they have dropped 2 of 3. In their one win, they were booked as nearly a double-digit favorite against the Memphis Grizzlies. Won that game by 6, did not cover. The other two, they got blown out by Oklahoma City. And on Sunday, as a favorite at home against Sacramento, they lost outright as well. Not necessarily the best performances from the Clippers to start things off following the break. The Lakers haven't been much better either. They have dropped 2 of 3. They haven't covered in any of those three games. But as an underdog this year, 13-14 against the number for the Lakers, they have won 10 of those 13 games outright. And the Lakers have been a lot better this season against the Clippers than they had in the previous 3 or 4 around the association. I believe they entered this year on an 11-game losing skid against the Clips. They have snapped that. Now we go to Mile High. The Denver Nuggets, 7.5-point favorite against the Sacramento Kings, over-under 230.5. The Nuggets have been booked as a favorite in every home game this year. The Kings much better covering numbers as an underdog than a favorite this season.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take the Kings in this game. If we're getting close to double digits here, I'll lean on them. De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Barnes, Marion Sabonis doing the lineup tonight. And as well, look, we know they play in elevation. They're a great basketball team at home here. Murray, Caldwell, Pope, Porter Jr., Gordon, and Jokic do up in the starting lineup tonight. And we expect them to win the game, hence their favorite, by 8.5 points. But if I'm looking for a team that might be able to run with them in elevation, it's going to be the Sacramento Kings. So for my money, I'll take the points in this one. And also, over 230.5 as well, I do think makes here. We're looking at two teams with two players here with Sabonis and Jokic that we're looking at triple doubles on both sides of the equation tonight. Give me some points tonight I'll take the points with the Sacramento Kings.
Denver at home straight up this year, that altitude advantage, 22-5, again, a favorite in all 27 games at home, 13-13-1 against the spread. Now, Sacramento as a favorite, not all that great in covering numbers this year. As an underdog, one of the best in the NBA. 11-7 ATS, 8 of those 11 covers in outright victory. Now let's dive in to two of our favorite prop guys each and every night in the association to record a triple-double, something Nikola Jokic has done in all three games for the Denver Nuggets since the All-Star break, plus 120. Domantas Sabonis, I believe, has done it in 2 straight. I'll check to just clarify. Plus 185. I might put money on both. Can I parlay those two options? No, I cannot. Ooh. But I might sprinkle a little bit on both of those plus money prices tonight in Denver.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you're looking at two guys with usage rates out here, not exactly defensive mavens on both sides. So it's not as if it's like, oh, no, Jokic is going to guard Sabonis, and Sabonis is going to guard Jokic here. Both of those guys should eat. And yes, I think it is legitimate that each one of these guys does secure a triple-double here in the market tonight. We're not looking at a total, Ben, of 205.5. It's 230.5.
Domantas Sabonis, not just 2 straight, all 3 games since the All-Star break as well. Of course, Nikola Jokic on Sunday, 32 points, 16 boards, 16 dimes. Sabonis, a triple-double in 6 of the last 7 for Sacramento. He gets my money tonight. might the Joker as well. So two of the six games on the slate. Let's make it game number three. As we go to Indianapolis, it's the Pacers and the Pels. New Orleans, second leg of a road back-to-back, leaving the East Coast, going to the Midwest in Indianapolis tonight. The Pels, a 5.5-point road dog. What does that tell us? We're not sure about availability for New Orleans this evening. Meanwhile, Indiana, a couple of days off, laying 5.5 at home. The over-under, 238.5. The Pacers looking to keep things going here against New Orleans.
Yeah, Pacers with a bad performance last time out. So now we're taking a look here at the New Orleans Pelicans, who played very well in the Garden last night. But also keep in mind, do we get a fully intact starting lineup? The reason I ask that is, look,
I don't think
typically on a back-to-back, you're not going to get that. But also, they didn't have that high leverage situation in the fourth quarter. They had to pay pressure minutes all the way down the stretch. They won fairly easily. Now, looking at the anticipated starting lineup, usually everybody's in it at this time of the morning. But also keep in mind, CJ McCollum did not play last night. He's expected in the starting lineup tonight. So let's just say we do get maybe Zion sitting this basketball game out, but getting CJ McCollum back in that lineup along with Brandon Ingram. Is that enough here for the Pacers to lay that much in this environment? But also keep in mind, we know the Pacers want to push tempo here. The 238.5, you typically say, oh no, they played in the Garden, they got to travel to Indianapolis. I still think we get great pace in this game, and this game has a legitimate chance to go over. But again, us handicapping in the morning for a game on a team on a back-to-back on the road, it's always tough to do. I'll still lean towards the Pelicans, hoping for the best in that starting lineup.
We're about 8 hours away from tip tonight in Indianapolis. Right now, Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram both have a points prop out. Zion last night, 21 points, BI 24. For Ingram, it's 24.5, his points prop. For Zion Williamson, 21.5. Trey Murphy, the third, the leading scorer for the Pels last night. Great from deep. He had 26 points as the Pels blew out a shorthanded Knicks team inside Madison Square Garden. It is interesting to see points props for both Brandon Ingram and Zion, but have the Pelicans as a 5.5-point road underdog on the second leg of a back-to-back. The Pels have been favored in all four of their games since the All-Star break to be a 5.5-point dog. Now, a little bit intriguing. But I would agree with you. I think we see some points over 238.5. I don't remember the last time the Pacers played in a game that had a total less than 240. They went under in 5 of 6. Before going over in a weird loss to Toronto earlier this week, they were a 5.5-point home favorite. I think they continue the point output tonight over 238.5. How does Cleveland respond following the 59-foot buzzer-beater game winner from Max Strus? The Cavs on the road tonight laying 5.5 points in Chicago inside the United Center against the Bulls, who were home last night and lost outright to the Detroit Pistons. Can the Bulls bounce back?
Yeah, we're looking at a low total, too. So immediately your thoughts go like, well, they can't go that low. Well, yes, they can. You just saw the Bulls score 95 points yesterday against the Detroit Pistons. Yes, they're at home on a back-to-back. It makes it a little bit easier. And Cleveland is not too far of a travel here from Cleveland playing last night on a back-to-back. But I probably still would lean to the under. That's a terrible performance. And the one thing we do know about the Chicago Bulls, they're not high-flying here. Will they have a better offensive output than scoring 95? I would hope so. But I don't know what I'm going to get out of the Cleveland Cavaliers either. We talked about it here. Donovan Mitchell played very well last night, coming back after a banged up injury and not playing so well. Does he sit it out tonight? Because that would be big. Once again, handicapping the NBA games here on the early line in the morning on two teams on back-to-backs here is hard enough. I'll lean towards the under at 216.5 in this game. I don't want to lay the 5 points with Cleveland on the road tonight. I really don't.
Yeah, absolutely hate this number. As you look at it right now, Nikola Vucevic might be my area to go. Over 10.5 rebounds, or just pay the juice at minus 155 for a guy that is a walking double-double. He averages a double-double, better than 17 points and 10 boards per game. He has had a double-double in 7 of the 9 games for Chicago in the month of February. I might just lay the juice because I don't really like laying the number with Cleveland or really taking the Bulls expecting a bounce-back spot tonight in Chicago. Next game up in the Great White North, the Mavericks now a favorite. They were a team that lost last night but did cover, heartbreaking defeat at the hands of Max Strus in the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Mavs laying 3 points. They won 7 straight, Donnie. They have now dropped back-to-back games. Can they cover 3 on the road tonight in Toronto?
I think they do. And typically you'd say to yourself, okay, Toronto's at home. They're rested. The Dallas Mavericks, heartbreaking loss last night. But I think what you said is key here. They had that seven-game win streak here. They've lost two in a row. I know Luka and Kyrie played wonderful games last night, scored a lot of points and played a lot of minutes. But is this one of those nights you want to sit out and turn that two-game losing streak into a three-game losing streak? Now, typically if you'd say, yeah, all right, Dallas is going to go play in the TD Bank Garden in Boston tonight. You know what? It's a back-to-back. It's going to be a tough game anyway. Let's rest our guys. Yes, it's three games, but it's the Boston Celtics. You don't want to risk them. Like, hey, the Toronto Raptors, they're not that good of a basketball team here. So if you just hand that game over to the Raptors, I don't see it here. I think you get a full tilt effort out of the Dallas Mavericks, which particularly in the starting lineup, and I think they can beat the Toronto Raptors tonight. That's the way I'd play it out.
I'd probably go over on both Luka Doncic, 32.5, and Kyrie Irving at 26.5 as well. Probably like Kyrie's points prop to the over more than even Luka's. But I would expect the Mavs to bounce back. Battling for positioning in the Western Conference at this moment, Dallas losing two straight has fallen all the way to the 8th seed, 33-25, a full game behind Phoenix now for that 6th spot in the Western Conference. The only other game we didn't mention, Minnesota, 12-point home favorite against the Memphis Grizzlies. I think the T-Wolves win. I think the Grizz might cover that 12-point spread. A huge Wednesday in college basketball. More breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, if you'll just allow us for a moment here, 2 days out from the month of March, you look up and down the Wednesday slate in college hoops, it doesn't really get a lot better than this. Nearing the end of a regular season at the high major level in college basketball, in conference action, I mean, pick a spot on the board tonight. It's going to be a marquee matchup. We start with the most marquee of them all in SEC country. Good old Rocky Top. Knoxville, Tennessee, a 6.5-point number for a top 15 tilt in favor of 4th-ranked Tennessee at home against 11th-ranked Auburn. 6.5-point spread now in favor of the Vols. The total, 150.5. What is your first thought in this game, Donnie Wrightside?
You don't just walk into the place that Pat Summitt built and expect to come away with a victory there in SEC territory, people. Even though we are looking at two quality ball clubs here. Also, I don't want to say two teams going in opposite directions because that's not fair. Auburn's very good, and so is Tennessee. But you take a look at Auburn, 2-2 in their last four games, where Tennessee has won their last four, and quite frankly, in convincing fashion. The last time they lost was against A&M. You know, they returned that favor with an absolute blowout. That's how you like to play. But also, if we're just taking a look here, Ben, in SEC play, both of these teams very good and very efficient on defense. Tennessee comes in number two overall in defensive efficiency. Auburn comes in number one overall in efficiency here on defense. And also very, very close between that one and two. Also, we're taking a look at two teams that play great defense, as I just stated, but they love to turn the basketball over here on defense. Tennessee, number one in conference play. Number two in conference play is Auburn. Yeah. But might it come down to this? Tennessee's offense, very efficient as well. Third overall in conference play, but also the best team in conference play, Ben, at not turning the basketball over. So if you're Auburn that looks to feast on defense here and get turnovers, you're not going to get them against Tennessee. But also, if we look at Auburn's defense, it doesn't get any better than this. You want to talk about defending the three-point line? Number one in SEC play. You want to talk about defending inside the paint? Number one in SEC play. So for my money in this game, even though we will get tempo, I think both of these defenses and the stakes of this game will impact it. Give me the under in this game tonight, Ben.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well, Donnie. When you look at a 6.5-point spread, it leans to Tennessee. It has worked from that initial 5.5-point line. It makes sense. Tennessee has been good here as of late. They have won 6 of their last 7. They have covered in 5 of those 6 victories. However, there is no better cover team in the SEC than the Auburn Tigers. Auburn is one of 2 high major college basketball teams that have covered in more than 70% of their games. Minnesota, the best cover team in the country, the only other high major conference college basketball program to cover in more than 70% of their games. The Tigers, 10-4 against the spread, but they've only been booked as a dog once. That was on the road in Tuscaloosa. It was a game that, depending on where you got the number and on what side you were on, the hook either gave or it took. It was a 3.5-point spread. The Tigers at the end lose by 4. But against those other high-tempo teams in college basketball, Alabama twice, Kentucky and Florida once, Auburn has gone under in 3 of those 4 games. Tennessee is not all that high-tempo. I would lean under as well in a game I expect to be very competitive tonight. 150.5 the total for that matchup down there in Tennessee. We also now go to Oxford, Ole Miss, and Alabama. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Crimson Tide on the road. Over under 166.5. The Tide have played 27 games this year. Alabama has gone over in 20 of 27.
Yeah, look at that total, right? 166.5. It's crazy. It's some of these, you know, anticipated scores that we're looking at here. But you do have a favorite in Alabama, and rightfully so. How are they going to bounce back? Last time we saw them was a crushing defeat, particularly on defense, going up against Kentucky, who did whatever they wanted in an easy blowout. So now you're trying to recenter yourself, but still on the road, taking on Mississippi. But looking at Mississippi here, losers of 5 of their past 6 games, so not coming in to great form here. But styles do make fights, and we are going to get tempo. Why? Because Alabama just brings that tempo with them, but also a lot of efficiency on offense. Despite that loss here, they still scored a lot of points against Kentucky. They're number one in the SEC in efficiency. But also, take a look at this. Some of the things that they do don't really match up all that well against Mississippi. Turnovers here, 14 teams in the SEC, they're 12th at turning the basketball over, which is crazy. It's like, well, how are they the most efficient team in the SEC turning it over that much? Because of their shooting percentages are equally impressive here. But also keep an eye on Mississippi, number 3 in conference play, Ben, at turning you over. So that's sort of a positive for a bad Mississippi defense. And also, Mississippi's defense does foul quite a bit, but you know, really doesn't press the needle down. It's Alabama, because they love to shoot the 3-point shot. Therefore, not taking advantage of the fouling situations you might have if you're driving it to the hoop. Now, as we brought out, that offense for Alabama is very good. Number 3 overall making the 3-point shot, but number 1 overall in conference play at firing away from 3-point range at 48% of their shots coming from 3-point land. Now, granted, Mississippi doesn't defend it, Ben, all that well. However, they do chase you off of the 3-point line. 3rd in conference play at not letting you shoot the 3-point shot against the number one team in conference play that wants to shoot it. Let's just say if Mississippi was bad defending it, which they are, but also letting you shoot a 3-point shot, that could be devastating here. But I do think that certain matchups make sense. And also, flip it over to Mississippi on offense. Point distribution in SEC play, going inside the arc. They're number 3 overall at close to 51% of their points coming from inside the arc. But you also take a look at Alabama. They'll let you score inside the arc. So Mississippi can do some things to frustrate Alabama. I'm not calling an upset here, but I'm not loving Alabama as the favorite on the road here, Ben.
Completely agree. It is not a line I would bet. I would not sprinkle on Ole Miss even as the outright underdog. Yeah. It is a line I am staying away from. 166.5 as that total. I expect to see some pace, but when you look at Ole Miss, it's not necessarily the fastest tempo in the country. 239 out of 362 at the Division I level. Compare that to Alabama, the 12th fastest in all of college hoops. Number 12, that is, for that adjusted tempo. Again, when you look at Ole Miss, they started off the year 13-0 against a rather soft non-conference strength of schedule, but first year under Chris Beard. Since that point, they have dropped 8 of 14 in SEC action. They have covered only 6 times in SEC play. 3 of those, however, as an underdog with 2 outright wins. Marquette got spanked by 28 points against UConn 2 Saturdays ago. And in the interim, Marquette has looked fantastic in 2 straight games. They blew out Xavier, and they hammered, and I mean hammered, DePaul not all that long ago. When you look at the number tonight, we are expecting the Golden Eagles to pull off something similar against Providence. 11.5-point spread against the Friars in Milwaukee this evening. Can Marquette cover that number?
I think Marquette can cover that number, but also 2 teams, as you said, coming in good form. Winners of 10 of 11 is Marquette. Not only blemish was against UConn, but also Providence, a couple straight wins heading into this game, beating the top level competition in the Big East. Not necessarily, but wins alike here. But Marquette, the number 1 overall defense in Big East play in efficiency, and also the team that turns you over more than any other team in Big East play. Why is that important? 11 teams in the Big East, 7th at turning the basketball over, is Providence. But if we are looking at a chance where Providence can hang around around within double digits. They're the best in the conference here at getting to the free throw line, which is important. Now, granted, did they shoot a crazy number from the free throw line? Only 70% as a team, which isn't great, but that's some place where you could take advantage and get some of those free points. And also, how many times have I talked about this? Providence likes to shoot the three-point shot. Number two in conference play overall at volume behind the three-point line. You know who lets you shoot the three-point shot? It's Marquette. So it's a perfect storm if you want to hang around a team that will let you shoot the three-point shot and you're comfortable at shooting the three-point shot. If we flip it over to Marquette on offense, we already told you how good they are in defense with efficiency. They're very good on offense as well, coming in third in the conference and also shooting top three in the conference from the three-point line and inside the arc at 55.7%. The one thing I like about Marquette going up against Providence, if we take a look at that point distribution, they love to score inside the arc. We're talking about Marquette. Providence will let you do that. So I do expect some points in this game because why? Again, Providence doesn't have a great offense, but they do some things like getting to the free throw line and shooting a lot of three-point shots. That could pile up the points here, and we could see a total to the over here.
I would agree. Providence has gone over in four straight games, including their three consecutive wins, over in five of their last six. Providence as an underdog in conference play. You won't find much better. 9 times, 8-1 against the spread, 3 outright victories, including against Marquette. That was back early in the Big East schedule in Providence, Rhode Island. Marquette also really good covering numbers, 11-5 against the number in Big East play. In those 10 of 11 recent wins for the Golden Eagles, they have covered in 9 of the 10 victories. They've won their last two games against DePaul and then, of course, against Xavier over the weekend by at least 24 points. Marquette in the first half, laying 6.5, they have been up by at least double digits in those two wins as well. Big game in the Big East out in Omaha. 12th-ranked Creighton, 8.5-point favorite against Seton Hall. Over-under, 144.5. How do the Blue Jays bounce back from the disappointing effort inside Madison Square Garden against St. John's? But if Rick Pitino's wearing an all-white suit, that should have been the main handicap for that game.
It certainly could. And the main handicap may be just that home cooking here for Creighton. They're certainly going to need that. But with Seton Hall, not a very efficient offense, ninth in Big East play out of 11 teams. But here's the thing that I like about the points tonight and going to the over. If we're looking from a Seton Hall perspective, they turn it over more than anybody in conference play. But you know the Creighton defense? They don't turn anybody over. So maybe one of those advantages, if you're the Creighton defense, you could have taken care of if you like to turn the other team over, but they don't do that. Now, having said that, from the three-point line, 11th in the conference at volume from behind the arc, that's Seton Hall. You know who's number one at defending the arc and chasing you off? That's Creighton. But again, you're taking a look at styles that make fights. One team goes, I don't care about the three-point line, and you really care about defending it, which means you should open up some work in the paint. Number two in point distribution with 57% of their offense coming inside the paint or basically inside the three-point line, that's Seton Hall. How about number one in conference play, Creighton, at giving up points inside the three-point line? That's a great match for Seton Hall. Now let's flip it over to Creighton's offense. Very good and efficient. Number two overall in conference play. They do love to shoot the three-point shot. Matter of fact, they shoot more percentage-wise than anybody else in conference play. You know, it's eighth at chasing you off the line. That is Seton Hall. So we have two offenses that should work together tonight on both sides. Give me the over in this game in Creighton.
144.5 last three games for the Blue Jays in Omaha. At home in Big East play, they have gone over. A strong line in favor of Iowa State tonight at home against Oklahoma inside Hilton Coliseum, where Iowa State as a home favorite this year is 12-3 against the spread. One of those non-covers over the weekend against West Virginia booked as a lofty double-digit favorite, nearly double digits, laying 9.5 against OU tonight.
Yeah, not a big fan of this game overall. I do think that price point is quite high at double digits. Should Iowa State win? We already previewed this with Mark, taking a look at these two basketball teams and the direction they're heading in the Big 12. You can get within a game of the top seeded right now Houston Cougars if they win. I expect them to win, but I don't have too much of an advantage on either side in this game for me, Ben.
Yeah, it is a strong number, and I would just say that. The number is the number at 9.5 for a reason on Iowa State, but it worked up from 8.5. Have you missed your best price? I don't really know. What is Duke going to do tonight? In response not only to a loss against Wake Forest over the weekend, but all of the conjecture and conversation surrounding Kyle Filipowski, John Shire, the Duke men's basketball program, and court storming in their response tonight at home in Durham. 19.5-point favorite against an abysmal Louisville team after the storm of not only the court, but the conversation in college basketball. Duke should not have an issue with the Cards tonight. Will Kyle Filipowski play? He does not have a points prop listed as of this moment. A best bet for this Wednesday coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 3 hours together, live on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie, I am Ben, and this is maybe more importantly, the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan that QR code on your screen, included in the Spiz Grizz app, 5-star plays. Those are known as best bets. So are these. I think we've got some good ones cooked up for this Wednesday night. 6-game slate in the association. As good of a Wednesday in late February in college basketball as you could ever hope for. Before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time for bye, bye, bye. What gets Donnie's attention on this Wednesday night around the sports landscape?
Let's head down to the SEC for a top 15 battle between number 5 Tennessee and number 14 Auburn. Said it before, you might get some tempo in this game and two teams that are certainly very good on offense, but even more impressive on the defensive end. It's going to be a big time battle in the SEC tonight. I'm going to lean on the under 151.5 between Auburn and Tennessee for my best bet of the night. Let's keep those good times going, Ben.
Two teams that have relatively fast tempos as compared to the 362 Division I men's college basketball programs, Tennessee 76, Auburn 80. But Tennessee against other teams that have a fast tempo, and Auburn, they have played to the under. Auburn, 4 opponents, Alabama twice, Kentucky and Florida, all of those three teams ranking inside the top 25 in terms of tempos, and 3 of those 4 games for the Tigers staying under. 6.5-point spread, working the way of Tennessee. Auburn, the best cover team in the SEC at 10-4 against the number. I'm going total in SEC play as well. I mentioned Florida. When you look at the Gators, the 32nd fastest tempo in college basketball, Florida taking on Missouri at home tonight in Gainesville. Missouri in 5 of its 7 SEC games on the road. They have gone over. I think we see some points tonight between the Gators and the Tigers. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern, live right here on the Early Line.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.